I want to invite everybody to please stand and open your Bibles to Psalm 23. Mark, I want to thank you for leading us this morning in worship. So thank you for leading us to the throne. That was wonderful. Over these past, well, last week, today, and next week, we're going through probably the famous, most famous song in all of Scripture, Psalm 23. We looked at last week dealing with anxiety. Today it's dealing with depression. And we're the title of the sermon is Restoring the Soul. And we're going to see how David talks about that here in Psalm 23. It'll be on the screen. It'll also be in your Bibles. We're using the New King James Version today. So if it reads a little bit different from what Bible you have, that's okay. It says the same thing. This is God's word for his people. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for this beautiful morning. Father, we thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Your love endures forever. It never fails. And Jesus, we praise you that you are our shepherd. You're our good shepherd. You are our great shepherd. You are our chief shepherd. You are the crucified shepherd and the resurrected shepherd. You are the victorious shepherd. And we praise you, Father, that you make us lie down in green pastures. And you lead us beside still waters. And you restore our souls. And even when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us, and your rod and your staff, they comfort us and protect us because you are with us. May my words be your words. Bring encouragement and strength and comfort and conviction and transformation by you, Holy Spirit. I bless each and every one of you today in Jesus' name. And we pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Today, again, we're talking about Jesus as the great shepherd. And a real quick review, if God is our shepherd, which is one of the most common metaphors in all of Scripture, from the Old Testament to the New, we see God as shepherd. Then what does that make us? Sheep. And sheep are? Dumb. Oh, man, you guys got it. And just to kind of trigger what we talked about last week, there's a couple pictures up on the screen. Just a couple pictures of who we are, sheep. And they actually have incredible characteristics. They aren't the sharpest tack in the stack. But sheep actually are extremely complex socially. And they do remember faces and they do hear sounds. And there is a hierarchy, a structure. And sheep do fight against each other. And in order to be healthy and whole, sheep need incredible, tender, meticulous care by their shepherd. And if they don't get that, they will die. They will destroy each other. They will wander off. And they are so susceptible to predators. The more I study about sheep, I'm like, man, it's us. It's us humans. And last week, for review, there are four things that sheep need in order to truly lie down in peace. They need to be free from fear, free from anxiety, free from friction within the flock, and they need to be well fed. What fears consume us that we need to surrender to Jesus? What interpersonal conflicts do we have? It might be with our spouse, with our children, with our parents, with our roommates. It could be from friction from years ago, decades ago. There are still memories in my brain of people who have hurt me deeply that happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, that still hurt when I think about it. We need to give those and surrender those all to the great shepherd so he can bring healing. And then when we are free from the fears and the anxiety, all the petty things that we stress out about, when we're free from all the interpersonal conflicts and we're able to surrender it to Jesus,
then we can sit in the green grass and consume His word, His living word. And when we consume His written word, we will encounter the living word. And we're truly fed. But as we look here in Psalm 23, King David wrote it. And King David was the son of a shepherd, and he himself was a shepherd. So he knew the sheep very well. For years, he tended the sheep of his father before he ever became king. He knew what it was like to have to watch over his sheep, care for his sheep, lead his sheep, guide his sheep, protect his sheep, discipline his sheep. He knew very well. And look at what he says here in verse 3. In verse 3, he says, He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He talks about God, the shepherd, and he says, He. But then in verse 4, and we're going to camp in verse 4 the whole day. Look at what it says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. It turns into a very intimate declaration of who God is. David knew God intimately. And he didn't just talk about God, he and God, and he's way up there, and he's way out there, and he's so big, and he's so this, and he's so that, he's so busy, he doesn't have time for me. But he begins, and he knows God very personally, very intimately, and most of the rest of this short little psalm, he then addresses God, but You are with me. And as I studied this one verse this whole week, I began to think and ponder, how do I address God? How do you address God? How do you see God? Jesus taught us that God, the almighty, omnipotent, omniscient, He is Daddy. Abba. Abba is the Aramaic word for papi in Spanish, for daddy in English. I love hearing my little daughter, and she's getting older, but I love hearing my daughter and my kids when they call me Daddy. And I can remember when they were little, when I would open the door to the house, they come running to the front door. Daddy, 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 Daddy. And that's how our Heavenly Father wants us not only to address Him, but to see Him as our great, big, awesome, all-consuming, all-powerful Father. He will sit down with us and roll around in the dirt, in the grass, and He'll let us sit on His knee, and He wants to hold us. You are with me. Real quick, here in verse 4, David talks about the valley of the shadow of death. Every year, shepherds have to take their sheep out into the wilderness, out into the mountains, out into the hills, in order to find the good food, the good grass, and even water. Especially in Palestine, that is semi-arid. If they kept them into the sheep pens and close to the little towns, they would run out of food. They would have to go out into the wilderness. And the best place in an arid, dry place is the valleys. The valleys is where there still will be water, fresh water, running water. And in the valleys where there's water, there's going to be vegetation. And a good shepherd every year would have to take his sheep way out. And in order to get to those back hills, in order to get up into the plateaus where the grass would be, in order to take them to water, they have to go through valleys. The valleys, there is shade. There is nourishment. There is water. But there's also danger, predators, and it's not safe. It reminds me of the book of the Chronicles of Narnia. When Lucy goes into Narnia and she asks about Aslan, and she asks, is he safe? And they're like, oh no, but he's good. Now that might seem odd to us. Why would God take us to places that are dangerous? Why would He lead us out into the valley where there's threats of predators, lions, tigers, and bears? Oh my. Why would He take us out where we could be attacked or there could be threats of flash floods? Why would He take us out where we're vulnerable? Because it's in the valleys where we truly find God's faithfulness. If our walk with Jesus is always a mountaintop experience, especially in this day and age where so many of us are propelled and we're so compulsed to live by our emotions and our feelings, where if we don't feel it, it's not sincere, and if it's not sincere, then it's not real. Is that true? Absolutely not. Our emotions are like the waves of the ocean, and they go up and down, and they move all around, and they can confuse us powerfully. And yet our emotions so drive so many of us. There's a phrase in Spanish, no tengo ganas. I don't care. I don't feel like it. I don't want it. I don't desire it. I hate that phrase in Spanish because it was always used as an excuse to not do the right thing. In college, when we played basketball, because of all the NCAA rules and stuff, our basketball coach could not do our fall training for basketball. So they gave us to the football coaches, which was awful. And one of them had big, huge, crazy, curly hair. And everybody thought he was my older brother because we looked a lot alike. And he was a lot of fun, but he was an ogre when it came to the track running. And he would say every day, gentlemen, don't avoid the inevitable. Do what's right because it's right. I hated Coach Peltz for that. But he got us in shape. God takes us through the valleys, not so that we just have to suffer. But like I said, the valleys is where there's fresh water. The valleys is where there is green grass during times of drought. And it's through the valleys that we get up to the mountain peaks and the high hills and the plateaus where we can truly look out and see. And many times when we go through the valleys, it's hard and it's dark and it's evil and it's lonely and it's confusing. It's depressing. It's full of anxiety and threats. There are many seasons in my life when I look back that are dark, dark days. I was asked by someone in the Anglican Church to write a history about the church plant that Christy and I were part of. And it took me several days to do it. And as I look back on those 20 years, I told him, I said, there are some years there that I would love to forget. Super painful. And yet when I look back on some of those years, I'm like, man, God's faithfulness, especially during the low, dark, difficult times, was truly amazing. Where God is always good. And it's unbelievable. And it's easier said when you're on the mountaintop and when you're standing in the light than it is when you're in that dark place. And I've never have had clinical depression. At least I haven't been diagnosed by it. I have dear friends who are. And real depression is a serious issue, and mental health is becoming more of an issue each and every year and each and every day, and we hear a whole lot of it. And there are some of us who truly do struggle with it that need professional help, and you know what? That's okay. And there are well-meaning Christians that will tell us, well, all you need to do is believe. All you need is more faith. Or you're struggling with depression or anxiety because you're guarding some unconfessed sin you need to get rid of. And many times, that is like the worst lie from hell. And it's not what needs to be said. Sometimes we do go through anxiety and depression because we are guarding sin and hate and bitterness and resentment. We are the wandering sheep that has found himself in a valley and wasn't following Jesus to get there. But there are times when we get hit so hard on the head and we go through those dark valleys of suffering and pain and loss, depression and anxiety, and we need professional help. We need counseling. We need the body. There are times when I've struggled and others of my friends have struggled dearly, and I don't want to be part of the body. I don't want to be with people. I don't want to see people. And that is Satan's ploy. To destroy us. When the wolves come after the sheep, they come charging in to try to scatter the flock, and then they hunt down the one that's alone and they take it. And we as the body, we need one another. We cannot do this Christian walk by ourselves. There's no such thing as a lone ranger Christian.
We need the body of Christ. We need to stay close to the flock. We need to be in small groups. And we need to sit in the grass that Jesus gives us, his word, and consume it and read it and keep our eyes on him. And we need to follow the good and great shepherd. Jesus has already been there. He's already suffered. He's already been tempted, just like you and me. He knows exactly what it's like to go through the valleys, because he himself, and his title is Man of Sorrows. That's in Scripture. Jesus truly is the Man of Sorrows. He knows exactly what it's like to be betrayed, to be misunderstood, to be rejected, to be completely cast out. And when we walk through those dark valleys, he is the only one that can sustain us and carry us and walk with us. There's a passage in John, and we're going to read it. I want to ask you to please stand. It's one of the greatest descriptions of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. John chapter 10. Starting in verse 2, we'll read verse 2 and verse 4. And then jump down to verse 11. These are Jesus' words. Look at what he says. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. That's him. You know, he's also the door. That's the amazing thing. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Jesus knows you better than you know yourself, and he calls you by name. He leads us out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. Where is he at? He's before his sheep. He goes before them, and the sheep will follow him, for they know his voice. Jumping down to verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and he scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and he doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Do you know Jesus? And I'm not talking about you did the sinner's prayer 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 50 years ago. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him personally? Because he knows you and he longs to know you. He longs for you to get to know him. He desires for you to follow him each and every day. Look how he finishes. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Amazing. These are Jesus' promises as our good and great shepherd. You may be seated. Returning back to Psalm 23, here to close. As David declares, he doesn't just say, yeah, God's my shepherd. But as he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's nothing to fear, which for me, that's such a hard concept because I'm a worry wart. I worry about everything. But the reason David doesn't fear, what does he say? He declares, because you, God, you, my shepherd, you are with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod was like a small billy stick. It was like a policeman's club, except it was round on end, very heavy. And it's what the shepherd would use to defend the sheep from the wolves and from the bears and from the mountain lions from attack. And they could sling it and throw it. And sometimes they would put nails at the head of this stick, of this rod. The rod is used to count the sheep. And then the staff was the common shepherd's staff that we see with the crook. And he'd use it to rescue sheep off the cliff. He would use it when sheep would have baby lambs. He would take the rod of the staff and hook the sheep and draw it over to its mother so the mother wouldn't smell human but would smell her own baby. The staff is also used to defend the sheep from predators. And also, you know, we hear of the bear hug, you know, big bear hug. There was the sheep hug, which many times the shepherd would walk over to a sheep that would be full of anxiety or one that needed discipline, and he'd take his staff and he would just lightly pull it over the sheep and draw the sheep close to the shepherd. It'd be a sheep hug. And it would help the sheep to relax. My shepherd is with me. the rod for protection and defense, sometimes for discipline for the wayward sheep. They had used it to throw at the undisciplined sheep, then knock them smack on the head. And using that staff to draw the sheep in. They comfort us. When we know we are protected, when we know that our defender is watching, always watching, and Jesus always is watching. He's with us. Jesus promises in John 14, he won't leave us as orphans. And in the Great Commission, when he tells all his disciples to go to all nations, he says, I am with you always. Mark, if you could come on up. There's two questions I want to close with today. And we're going to go into the Lord's Supper here in a minute. But the first one is this. How is Jesus calling you to respond to what we've heard today, what we've sung, what we've read? What is he calling you to do? And I want us to stand. I want us to ponder that question. How is Jesus calling you to respond this morning? Number two, let's stand up. Number two, this. Who in your life needs to know that Jesus is available to walk with them through the valleys? You know, we just don't consume Jesus and keep him for ourselves. But we're to give him away. Who in your life needs to hear and know that Jesus is the good shepherd who guides and leads us through the dark valleys, the valleys of depression, of anxiety, of great loss, of death? Our Heavenly Father is with us. Deacons and those who are going to serve, if you could come up, and I want us to stand during this time. We're going to celebrate communion. The Lord's Supper is for any and all believers in Jesus. If you're visiting us today for the first time, or if you're a member, if you've put your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are more than welcome to come forward. And when our deacons will be on both sides and come down these two aisles, and then they'll serve you and go to your outside and go around. Mark and his team will lead us in worship. But this is what Scripture says on the night when Jesus was handed over to suffering and death. Our Lord Jesus, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to our Heavenly Father, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. And he said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me. The Lord's Supper is an incredible time. It's not just to get a snack, which is what I thought as a little child. It's a great time of worship of all that Jesus has done for us. It's a time to remember he shed his blood. Not only as the good shepherd, but as the lamb, he shed his blood and allowed his body to be broken for you and for me and for this world. So may we meditate on that, ponder that. Let us pray. Father, we thank you and praise you. Jesus, we thank you for this bread and we thank you for these little cups that symbolize your broken body and your shed blood for our forgiveness. And we praise you, Jesus, that you make us whole by your power, by your blood, by your very presence. And we ask that you would speak to us now as we worship you, as we remember your death and resurrection. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Once the deacons get in their spots, feel free to come forward when you're ready.